Hello, Internet! This is Ewan Spence calling. We have our songs for 2011, but now we need to find out if it's a hit, a miss, or a maybe as we enter the 2011 Jukebox Jury. Yes, hello everybody, Ewan Spence here. And as noted, the deadline has passed. Every country has finally submitted their song. There's no going back now. The artist, the group, the band, the performer that you or the public chose, you left with them. You can't change your mind, unless you're Ukraine, in which case you've probably got another 3 weeks to have a revolution, change your mind again, and then send in somebody that's a good friend of Annie Lorak. But hey, there you go. Right then, so it's Jukebox Jury 2011. The Ultimate Jukebox Juries are on hold now. The heats will carry on after the contest in May, but we have more pressing concerns. We have the songs that will be on stage in Dusseldorf, and we need to find out which of those are hits, which of those are misses, and which of them are maybes. Not quite sure about them. We'll have to see how it goes. It's the same format as you've been used to every Friday. We have two judges full of Eurovision knowledge and pedigree, and Paul Jordan. Hello, Paul.
Boo. Hello. Hi.
Boo. Boo.
I'm feeling very delicate this morning, so please be nice.
Right then. And you're delicate. No, he's delicate. Because this is the first Jukebox Jury of 2011. It's also, if we look at it carefully, it's almost a year to the day since the podcast actually moved off from doing just the commentaries to being a full-blown podcast. So it's our anniversary. So, and it wasn't even a birthday party last night that you can blame on, can you?
It's just an early start. You know, us students, we like to lie in bed, particularly at the weekends.
Ah, right then. And is there anybody still lying in bed when you get back?
Probably not.
Oh, blank. Oh, all over Europe, hearts are breaking. I think. It could be the translation. Joining Paul, we have a new judge. Described in her Wikipedia entries, she insists even now that she looks back on her time at Eurovision with fond memories. Nikki French. Hello, Nikki. Welcome to the judging panel.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Is it true that you still look back, or is it you insist that you look back?
Oh, well, I insist because people normally from the UK particularly, once they've done Eurovision and done badly nowadays, they just want it sort of taken off their CV for the rest of their time. And I don't. I'm very, very proud to have done it, and I'm very, very keen to do it again. But yes, I insist that it was a great time.
Did you write that bit in Wikipedia?
No, and it gets changed constantly. My age goes from sort of 25 to 85. I think today I feel more like the second one.
Ah, there we go. What else? Let's see. I got a question, and this is an interesting one. The song, of course, back in 2000, Don't Play That Song Again. Was there a moment in your brain where you went, I'm being lined up for so many jokes with that song title?
Oh, of course. However, I also thought, this is a great title. I thought it's going to be, it's the sort of thing that people will remember because of the title. So, I was quite happy with the title. People did say, oh, yeah, that's a bit too dangerous for you. And in a way, it turned out that way, because I do get people saying, no, please don't play that song again. But on the other hand, people that like it say the opposite. So it's a nice little sort of latch to hang on to, really.
Was there a bit of professional pride that when Gemini got no points and knocked you away from being worst UK entrant ever that you were quite happy about?
I was absolutely elated. I did. I really was. And that night, one of my backing singers, Victor, I was on my way to a gig in Kingston, not Jamaica, in Surrey. And Vic phoned me while I was in the car on my way there, and he just went, we're not the worst points anymore, we've done it. And oh, we were just so excited that we'd lost that mantle. It was like, fine, someone else can take it now, that's great. I'm now just one of the acts that didn't do very well, as opposed to the worst ever UK placing, which I hated being part of that.
So, see, now we have the emotion, the cattiness, the sort of, the level of Queens has risen quite dramatically. this is why we've got Nicky in as one of our judges. So we've got five tracks, thanks to there being 43 songs at Eurovision, a prime number. How am I going to divide that into podcasts? Some of them are going to have six, some of them are going to have five. We've got tonight Switzerland, Ireland, the Netherlands, Albania and Romania. Up here, we are going to be listening to the songs, talking about them, passing comment. You can do that as well back at the website, www.escinsight.com. And we're now going to start with Romania, a tough follow-up from last year, given their third place with Paula Selling and Ovi. Hotel FM are hoping not to change that.
You gotta make believe and make your dreams come true. It ain't that hard to do.
Romania's entry there, it's called Change by Hotel FM. Drums from Alex Zeus, piano Gabriel Burra, and singer David Bryan from Newton Aycliffe in England. Romania's leading karaoke singer. I say that because he was doing karaoke. Somebody spotted him and went, you know what? I think you'd be great going on my cabaret circuit. And then he found a manager, and then he ended up entering Eurovision, and now he's singing for Romania, which is possibly the safest way for a British artist to actually have a go at Eurovision, just in the same way that we had John last year for Cyprus. We now have David for Romania. It's kind of Coldplay, isn't it, Nikki?
Well, yeah, I quite like it. It's a summery little ditty. I'm not sure if it's sort of punchy enough to see off all the competition. Having not heard the competition, I don't know. But I like that. I mean, it's a nice little sort of happy little number. And Romania, let's be honest, Romania have done pretty well the last few years, so yeah, they're very sort of top three, top five type countries, and it could do quite well.
Certainly Romania have a good streak in qualifying, they got third last year, and then they've kind of bounced around mid-table for the years before that with some good stuff. Okay, say good stuff, but you know they did have the Balkan girls. But we'll glance over that for a moment. Paul, Hotel FM.
I like it. I like his voice. I like the song. The sort of thing you'd hear, you know, on the radio. As Nicky was saying, it's kind of light and summery. And yeah, I really like it. And I think Romania, as Nicky said, they've been getting closer and closer. And I think it'd be nice for them to actually win one year. I think they deserve it. I don't think it'll win, but I think easily top 10.
Certainly, I think it's going to keep the momentum going up that they had from Paula and Ovi last year, because I mean that was just one of those songs that we're probably going to be talking about 10 or 15 years down the line. It is, it's breezy, it's light, it's bubbly. I mean, it's, you know, Coldplay there, but I think it's almost like Coldplay if they were happy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. When you said Coldplay, I was thinking, well, it's not quite as sort of somber as Coldplay normally are. So,
because he's escaped from Newton Aycliffe and he's living in Romania now.
Yes, Newton Aycliffe to Romania. Where is the connection? I love it.
Right then, so hit, miss, or maybe on the song?
I'm going to go maybe.
I'm going to say hit.
I'm going to say maybe as well. It's nice and breezy. It's probably going to get out the semi-finals quite comfortably. I think it will not perform as well in the finals. I think Romania will be back to form. Top 10 is an outside bet, but probably a fair assessment on that one. So it's a maybes and a hit there for Romania. Moving on, Albania. Now this is an interesting one. We're not doing this live. We've had to pre-record this one. At the moment when we record this one, this is being sung in Albanian, but the singer is actually recording in LA. She's recording a French version, she's recording an English version, she's recording a German version, so it's going to make for a nice promo CD. Not quite sure what language they're actually going to decide to put it in as.
Wherever I go, I just want you to know, song live forever and I live with you. Yeah. I'm like an eagle in the open sky. I'm never land, I'm flying high. Let me share my song with you. Just feel the passion, love the message shining through. A giant reaction.
relegates their... This is a weird one for me, because it ticks all my personal boxes. You know, the Schlager boys, we want a key change. I want a gear change. I want a song that has a little bit of change in the tempo, and it has that. It has a soaring bit. It has a bit that brings it up to a crescendo. Yet at the same time, for me, it doesn't quite hold together. There's lots of elements there that it could maybe, you know, with a remixing and a rework, I'm not quite sure. Having some Welsh rugby singers in the background joining in, that might help as well. To be honest, I'm not quite sure. But they're scary. So for me, this is still a maybe. But it's a maybe that is a disappointing maybe, because I think all the elements are there.
I'm the opposite. It's a maybe for me, but I think it could get better. Albania usually choose their songs really early on, and then by the time they go to Eurovision, they're usually completely different, usually much better. I quite like this kind of tempo. It's kind of ethnic. I like her voice, although I don't know how she'll pull it off live. Didn't actually see the final.
That's because it was on Christmas Day and everybody else was watching Doctor Who.
And because it's about 5.5 hours long, and last time I watched something like that, I lost the will to live. But no, I think I'm going to hold out. It's going to be a maybe, but I think it's got potential.
I actually, this is going to sound very, very strange, but I actually think it's going to do very well, but it really wasn't my cup of tea at all. She sounds great. Like Paul, I'm not sure, you know, will that transfer when she has to sing it live? She certainly got some lungs on her, but it doesn't really grab me. It's not one that I can imagine everyone going, oh yes, let's all sing along. Yeah, you're really not going to. It doesn't quite grab my attention so much.
Certainly, if you look at the Eurovision winners over the last couple of years, they've got votes from most of the countries. They've got lots of 8s, 10s and 12s. It's been a while since there's been a winner which is 12s and 0s, 12s and 0s. You know, you kind of need that sort of... Because there's just so many countries entering now and certainly doing the voting at the end, you need that wide appeal. So you think that... It's a good song, but it's missing it in some areas of Europe.
Absolutely. And it's like you say, there is just something not there. It does build nicely. You know, she gets quite sort of involved in it and quite, I was going to say energetic. I don't mean energetic. What do I mean?
Exuberant, emotional.
Yeah, emotional. But... I guess a lot of it as well will depend on the actual visual performance. Yeah, we all know that matters nowadays a lot. And I think the visual performance could carry it further or could stop it from going further.
Albania, of course, famous for two years ago, sending the two tiny Derek Zoolander midgets next to the man in the green costume.
Yeah, the man in the gimp suit. I mean, it's going to be hard to see how it'll do, because with Eurovision now as well, with the juries, quite unpredictable. I don't know if the juries will... They might go for that. But as Nikki was saying, you know, it might not have the wide appeal. Certainly maybe the East European countries might like it, but I'm not sure if they'll like it in Ireland or the UK. But who knows?
There again, the juries like a good song. I mean, it's one of the reasons I think Britain did so well with the Andrew Lloyd Webber song, is that it was an Andrew Lloyd Webber song. And I think the juries kind of went... Yeah. I mean, that's going to give us a couple of 6, 7, 8s, and that brought us up to fifth place.
Yes, no, it did. And I wasn't a huge, huge fan of that one, but but then I'm not the biggest Lloyd Webber fan, really. But I think, yeah, she certainly gets very expressive, and it does build nicely to a good crescendo. It could do well. You just really don't know. And it does matter with the performance.
So it looks like we're all going for maybes all round on that one, yeah?
I think it is.
Maybe.
Yep, it's a maybe all round. And it's one of those, well, you know, so much can happen. It's 3 minutes, it's live around Europe, you know. Yeah, you could even get a stage diver and get a second go. There you go. It has happened before. Right then, song number three is from the Netherlands. He went for an internal choice of artist. They gave the choice of 5 songs out to the public with a great big sign over the last song going, the band really like this one. And lo and behold, the band are going to be singing that one. In Dusseldorf is Je Vecht, Nu Eet Aline from 3J's. Want you have to die?
Oh!
Yandules, Yapquaman, and Yapdewit. Three J's. See, how inventive is that? They put a lot of effort into the band name. I think that's clear.
Oh, sorry, is it finished?
Would you like some Ovaltine there, Nikki?
I'm quite disappointed because many years I like the Netherlands entries. And I'm sorry, that really does not do anything for me at all.
The Netherlands haven't quite worked out what modern Eurovision is, I think. I mean, they sent Sihanouk last year with a song by Papa Smurf. The year before that, they sent The Toppers, Europe's Reason for Why There Is No Longer a Sequin Mountain, and Hind, which the older fans really liked, but it kind of stayed in the semi-final. We've not seen them on Saturday Night for a long time, have we, Paul?
No, it's a real shame. They've totally lost the plot, and I mean, that's just dirge. I mean, it's
not Saturday Night final material, is it?
No, absolutely not. It's disappointing because they've actually got a great Eurovision history. They've got some really good songs and, you know, in the previous years, and they just lost the plot. I think they need to maybe take a few years away, have a think about it, and come back fresh.
So there we go. Hit, miss, or maybe?
Miss.
I mean, this is unfortunate because there's not much you can do with a song like this. It's there, it's 3 minutes of your life, and that's about it, really. And it's a shame because the band will have spent time writing it, performing it, and it means a lot to them. Yet, you know, 125 million people watching Eurovision, they're all probably going to go, yeah, next.
I think what's even more concerning is the fact that you say they had five to choose from and this was their favourite. I worry about the other four.
So, Nikki, hit, miss, or maybe on that one?
You'll be very shocked at this. It's a miss.
It's a miss. And it's a miss for me as well, unfortunately, there to the three J's. Which is a shame because we'll probably have to interview them, Paul. You realise that?
And I'll be like, oh, I love your song. It's fabulous. Can I have a photo?
Oh, you Eurovision queen, you right then. Right, let's move on. If you want to leave your comments on all of this, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is facebook.com/ESC Insight. Twitter is twitter.com/ESC Insight. And our website is escinsight.com. It's not that difficult. Twitter will keep you up to date with all the news and stuff. It's from the ground in Dusseldorf. Very fast moving. Facebook will just be having fun. And the main site, of course, for all our articles, podcasts, in-depth commentary, and everything else we can think of. Right then. If this was a couple of years ago, you know, Paul Hartington would have called this band John Paul Henry Daniel Richard Grimes and Edward Peter Anthony Kevin Patrick Grimes and just left it at that. Unfortunately, that's been portmanteaued down to Jedward. Now, this divided opinion when it was announced, it divided opinion when it won the national final in Ireland. It is still dividing opinion, and I think it will do no matter what they end up doing in Dusseldorf. It's called Lipstick. It has a huge public following. The general public, certainly in Ireland and the UK, like these guys. But what are our judges going to make of this one? Now, see, this is a tough one. Jedward, certainly in the UK, come with a lot of baggage, but they also come with a lot of fans as well, even more so in Ireland. But Europe don't know them. So, judges, let's put the Jedward baggage aside. Let's look at them as performers, and let's look at the song, okay? Paul, I saw you bouncing your head, tapping your feet, going along with that one. There is something in this song, isn't there?
I think so. I think it's very catchy. It's very captivating. Seeing them perform it, they performed it very energetically in the national final. And love them or loathe them, they've got people talking. And that's important, I think, for Eurovision. And I think it's quite a contemporary sound. And compared to the dirge that was in the Irish final this year, I'm not surprised it won.
I have to be honest, I'm actually quite surprised at how modern it sounds. And it is, as you say, it's quite catchy. The live performance could be an absolute car crash. But who knows? I think the backing vocalists will certainly earn their money.
I think the sound engineer will earn his money as well.
Yes, yes. Knowing that there's allowed to be six live vocals, I think... two of them might actually be switched right down. But no.
You would be a fool and a communist to suggest that RTE would ever condone such a procedure.
Well, yes, but I haven't worked on RTE for a long, long time, so I can say things like that. No, I am quite shocked in a good way, I suppose, that it sounds quite so modern, and it has got a good little sort of hooky line there. But my main concern is, like with Dust in the Turkey, Ireland gets it big time. The UK, with this lot, the UK get it a fair bit. Will everyone else? Or will they just think it's a, you know, these two mad boys on stage, a la Austria, a la Gildo Horn, who didn't do badly, let's be honest. But just, I don't know. It's a weird one. It could get, I actually think it might horrendously do really well.
Oh. And this is the thing, you have to divorce the package. Yes, they come out with the red shiny suits, they come out with the pompadour hairstyle, but at the same time, you're going to look at that. It's not as bad as, say, Copycat from Belgium a couple of years ago, which is just completely over the top. It's just like, that's what they look like. When you get to that 30-second recap, well, their song is only 30 seconds long, multiplied six times. So you're going to hear the whole song again, and it is going to be catchy, memorable. And you're going to go, oh, it's them. And you're going to have a visual that clues into their mind. And I think once this gets a couple of dance remixes, goes round to the clubs, because Europe aren't aware of all the X Factor talent show furore around them, this could actually be this could be an underground club hit in Europe. And if you took away the visuals, I don't think anybody would complain. So in that sense, I think Ireland have chosen the one song in the final that could get them out of the semi-final. They're in semi-final two, which is weaker. I think we are going to see Jedward on the Saturday night. Now, what they're going to do on the Saturday night, I honestly have no idea. You know, how is that going to go when you're going back to general public? I just don't know. I mean, certainly, you know, lots of promotion around Jedward, lots of promotion around the two female backing singers. It's like, oh, where's the two male backing singers? But does that matter?
I think, like Nikki said, I can see it doing very well. It's going to be either all or nothing. It'll either not qualify and it will fall by the wayside, or it will qualify. And I think it could do well. I think it's got potential to do a Verka, you know, like Ukraine did in 2007. I think it could do really well.
It's also worth pointing out, it's Jedward's first release that's not a cover version.
Which is surely a good thing. And, yeah, I mean, I think they're quite captivating. I think they're entertaining. And even if you don't know the whole story behind X Factor and Oops, I Did It Again and all those awful, cheesy performances, I think they're captivating. And as you said, people will recognise them, they'll remember them. And Nikki said earlier on, it's visual as well, Eurovision. So you never know. I've got an open mind. And I
think also, as you said... As you said,
you're pointing. It's an audio podcast. It doesn't matter.
I'm just thinking. No, as you said, Owen. If this was a standalone song and you didn't know who had performed it, it would actually possibly do even better. In an ironic way, I think it could do better if people didn't know who it was, because
which is most of Europe.
Absolutely, but because the tune itself, although as you say, again, it's. You know, the same song for 30 seconds six times over, it does get in the brain. Of course it will, being six times repeated, but it, even that first time, you're sort of like, oh, that's quite catchy.
It's as addictive as a Nestle's Caramac bar.
Yeah. Yes, it's horrendously so, because I really didn't want to like it. And
you know, step away, you're a judge, you have to put those feelings aside. Don't think Ghostbusters, think Eurovision. Okay, there we go. Right. I'll lead this off just so you have the confidence if you want to. I'm going to say this is a hit. I think it's definitely out of the semi-finals on the Thursday, purely because it's the weaker countries, and when you look at what's in there, there'll be enough people that give this sixes and so to bring it through. The Saturday night, I do not know. It could be a 23rd like Niamh last year. It could be 10. There's an argument for saying it's contemporary enough and quirky enough, and they've got another 8 or 9 weeks to drill through rehearsals, that this can top three. And you would probably get quite nice odds on top three, and I would take them and trade them later. But I'm going to say hit on this one.
I definitely say hit, and I think because of its liveliness, and it will be lively, whatever, they're going to do a lively performance. So I'm definitely going for hit, and I think the liveliness of it will carry it through.
My goodness, I thought Nikki and I'd fall out. Let's talk about politics next.
Right, so there's Northern Ireland and there's Ireland.
I'm going to say hit two. I think, as you know, you guys are saying, it's catchy, it's contemporary, and also they've got loads of publicity in the UK and Ireland, and I think the kind of media circus around them in Dusseldorf will be huge.
And they can handle the media.
Yeah, and they're very good at it, and they've got Louis Walsh, who knows what he's doing with them and the music.
So, Jedward there, three hits. One more song to go, so we could have a tiebreaker here. It's Switzerland's Anna Rossinelli. This is... It's called In Love for a While, and I think the phrase would be, it's sweet, and it's not what Switzerland have sent before. I think that would be fair to say. Let's see how it copes with our judges. The salve of Switzerland is next.
I love everything about you. I couldn't do without you. Whenever you're near me, all my days are on the bright side. But when I'm not around you, I have to find the way to be with you each night and every day. Na, 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 na. I love everything you do. Na, na, na.
Well, I don't know about you, but if that had been on the television, I'd be ready to buy a cereal health bar right now.
I'd be making a cup of tea while that was on.
Having a drink.
Yeah, Paul, you have a drink for everything.
Well, how do you answer that? It's 10:30 in the morning.
Okay, right, I'll do this one then. Switzerland haven't got out the semi-finals at least for the last 3 years. They got 17th, 14th, 13th going back to 2010, 2009, 2008. Is that going to get them out the semi-finals then, Paul?
No.
Easy. Right then, Nikki.
I concur. It started off and I actually thought, oh, this is quite nice. And I was waiting for it to build and get somewhere. And then I realised there's only 30 seconds left and it's not actually gone anywhere. Come on, Switzerland. It didn't do anything.
It's not a Liz Assia, is it?
Oh, bring her back. Right, and if she's still alive next year, Liz, please enter. What a legend.
She tried to enter this year, seemingly, but Switzerland said you had to have a top 20 hit in the last 3 or 5 years. So she was out.
What, the previous people who did enter for Switzerland did have a hit? It's quite surprising, considering how awful they were. Switzerland, like Netherlands, have just lost the plot. They're one of those old-school countries that used to do really well, used to have the knack, and they just haven't got a clue anymore.
Switzerland have the knack. Great, they can send my Sharona next year. I like that. But I joked there about cereal bars and getting a cup of tea, but it does feel like something that's been written for an advertising commercial. It's a girl on stage with a guitar, swaying slightly from side to side, you know, ghost of Karen Carpenter on her shoulder going, oh, that's lovely. But, you know, lovely doesn't win Eurovision.
It's lovely to have songs that are stripped back, but that is just too stripped back. It needed something to move it on and to build, to keep the audience's attention. And that just won't keep anyone's attention, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, Switzerland, but that really was not good.
And it reminded me a little bit of an audition for X Factor in the panel, you know, turning around at the end saying, it's a maybe. It's definitely a miss for me.
And for me, I have to say, though, I did actually like her voice. I actually thought she had a lovely tone to her voice. However, I'm afraid for me it's a miss.
I mean, it is a miss for me as well. And what's unfortunate is that when you actually look back at the Swiss songs in their national final, there were a couple of songs that were standout on that night, but they didn't. The live performance just fell to pieces. So in the end, she was the most competent on the night. And... you know, sometimes you've got to ride your luck, and she rode her luck there, and she got through, and people like Chilla didn't go through, the Dollies, they didn't go through either, all of which I think probably would have given Switzerland a better chance of getting it to semi-finals than this one does. It's a shame, but it's just lovely, and, you know, lovely's not enough anymore, even if you're 86. So, you know, and let's face it,
84.
We're arguing about Liz Assia's age. I think we should draw a close to the proceedings now. Okay, she died 9 years ago. It's just that nobody's had the heart to tell her. Right then. Okay, so where are we going? Looking back, we have Switzerland. Switzerland coming at the joint bottom with the Netherlands. Very briefly, Switzerland or Netherlands, which was the better song?
Probably Netherlands, I would say.
Oh, do you have to choose?
Just be nice and just get one of them off the bottom, you know?
I'll say Switzerland.
And I'll say Switzerland as well. So the Netherlands were last, and Switzerland were very, very, very slightly ahead, only because I got to get my Karen Carpenter reference in. So there you go. It's not going to matter for the juries. Matters for me. In third place, we have Albania's Aurella Gates with Kenga Emi. She's performed in front of President Bill Clinton. A fact that I could not get into the commentary before, but I don't want to waste. There we go. I understand there were other people in the room at the time, so put it down. Stop it. Second place, we have Romania's Change from Hotel FM. David Bryan there in the race to be the highest placed Brit. I have a bit of a challenge from Blue on that one, but we will see how that gets on. But taking the lead and guaranteeing me bucket loads of visitors from all the fan websites who will come and listen and go, aren't they brilliant? They're wonderful. Ah, and then go away again and not stay around the website. Ireland's Jedward with a sweep on the board of Hit, Hit, Hit and their lipstick. Let's take a quick question. We kind of covered it in the discussions, but let's go over it again. Let's assume they get to the Saturday. Let's assume that they have a good performance. Can they win?
Yes, they can. It's Eurovision. Anything can happen. Yes, they can.
Anything can happen. Okay, can Blue win?
Yes, they can. Although, yeah, who knows? Do you know, it does depend on the vocals on the night. Although, having said that, you know, because a lot of countries hear the songs time and time again, maybe not. But, yeah, I think they could. If they're energetic enough, which we know they will be. And if it, I don't know, it's got to appeal to both the youngsters, which we know it will, and because that's their core audience, and the, you know, the old biddies as well that will watch. I can tell you now, my mum will watch and hate it. She will hate it. But then again, you know, she's not really liked many of the last few winners anyway, so.
Did she like your song?
She did like my song, and she was there.
She tell you that?
Yes, yes. She did love it, and she, the very first time she heard it, I took a copy of it down to her in Kent, and she just loved it. She loved the title, she loved the song, and my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mum were all out there to support me and cheer me on, and my ex-husband's family were all there as well, cheering me on.
Ex-husband didn't like the song. That explains many things. Paul, can Jedward win Eurovision? Are we going to Dublin next year?
I think they can. As Nikki said, a lot of the vote is a youth vote now. If you looked at the previous winners, quite a lot of the winners have been kind of young. You can imagine young girls and gay boys voting for them. And I think they'll appeal to older people. I'm not sure if they'll get jury votes, though. That's the thing. But I think if they qualify, they're certainly looking at easily 12 points in the UK, at least.
It's going to be fun. I think that's the fairest thing to say. It's going to be fun and interesting. It's going to help them, you know. People are going to write about Eurovision again in Western Europe, and certainly UK and Ireland, and for that we can be thankful. Europe will know that they are there. It's not going to be a millstone around a career. Whether we end up going back to Mill Street, that is up in the air. All that rhymes for this early in the morning recording. I'm quite impressed with that. But anyway, that's just little things for me. So there we go. Jukebox Jury for 2011 Heat 1 is out of the way. Ireland gets the nod. Romania gets a possibly, and everything else kind of just sits in the background. We'll have another five or six songs next week who are all hoping to get onto that stage in Dusseldorf and walk away with the Grand Prix Chanson d'Europe. I'm sure we will have Paul on again as a judge, but for now, thank you very much, Paul.
You're very welcome.
Nikki, if she's ever up here in Edinburgh again, we'll do whatever we do, keel haul, tie them up, pull them in and go, right, be cheerful for half an hour. But thank you very much for your appearance just now.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute honour.
Any albums or singles or gift cards or autobiographies to promote that you want to do?
Well, actually, towards the end of May, there is a sort of double-sided single coming out. I say double-sided, it makes it sound so old. There's a double-tracked CD coming out, or track coming out. I ought to say not CD, really. So, yes, new single.
Where can people find out more for your adventures? You're online?
Please go to the website. It's www.nickyfrench.com, but spell it C-K-I, otherwise you might get a bit of a shock.
Ooh. Right. We'll have links to both of those back on the website. But for now, I'm Ewan Spence. Thank you very much for listening. www.escinsight.com. You find us in iTunes as well. Just search for Eurovision podcaster ESC Insight. Leave us a review if you're a regular listener. Or if you're a new listener, ewanspence@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. We'll be back on Tuesday with the news roundup of everything that's happening in Europe in the run-up to the Eurovision Song Contest. I'll be back here next Friday for another Jukebox Jury. But for now, the traditional way of ending.